Nick DiGiulio here on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline studio here until 4 a.m., and we've got some classic Jerry Seinfeld stand-up from 1981 when we play some classic Johnny Carson. You can see the Johnny Carson show every night on Antenna TV. We're going to talk about some of the luckiest people in history, and on this date, the internet was born, so we'll go back to the early days of the internet. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. My next guest is the great Herb Weisbaum. He is our consumer man and joins us once a month, usually on a Friday morning, but we have a special special show tomorrow, so we're having him on a day early. Herb, thanks for your flexibility.
It is a pleasure. Always nice to be with you, Nick.
I understand now your beard is even more impressive than it was the last time you were on.
No, I had to shave it off. I had to do a TV segment for WTV in Washington. So I couldn't decide whether I look like a homeless person, a rabbi, or a homeless rabbi. So I decided to shave it off. But and this is the truth. I think I sent Thomas a picture. If not, I will. I below the waist, I was in my pajamas.
Yeah.
So when people wonder what are they wearing underneath the desk on TV, I really was still in my PJs.
There you go. Well, we're all in our PJs. When I'm not here, I'm in my PJs. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
How you been holding up, Herb?
Doing fine. We're still staying safe in place here in Washington State, and it's likely that the governor is going to extend it for a little bit longer. But we are starting to ease up on a few things. We're going to let people do with certain guidance and staying safe. The fishing season when it opens, doing some golfing, two in a team instead of any more than that, or you could have four in your party if you're all related. So slowly doing some things. Looks like later this week they're going to let the hospital start taking some non-elective surgery because they're able to start handling things now. So we're very sure, carefully taking steps. So we know how brutal it was, and we just don't want to, except for some people, conservatives in the area who really want to open these up right away and have been very vocal about it with protests. Most people, the polls show most people want to just take it slowly and not get back to a situation where we get ourselves sick again. It's a shame because there'll be a lot of restaurants that'll never open again, a lot of stores that won't come back. I mean, a lot of people are hurting, as you know.
Yeah.
Boeing's going to on the chin. They're going to start laying people off, stop making so many airplanes. They're talking about, because you're a Boeing town, they're talking about that we won't. The CEO said that traffic will not rebound to where it was before COVID and for 3 years, and then it won't expand for five. I mean, they got planes sitting on tarmacs and runways, and the airlines don't want them. They don't want those maxes even when they are certified. So it's a really, really big problem for this company, and we're feeling the
Yeah,
with like one,
yep.
10 more down the road or something,
Yeah. You can go to consumerman.com, and you work with KOMO and checkbook.org, which you set up a nice thing for our listeners, right, Herb?
Yeah, it's a brand new gig that I just started a couple of weeks ago. It's a wonderful consumer organization based in Washington, D.C., a nonprofit. They publish publications in seven cities across the country, including there in Chicagoland. So what they are is like a local consumer reports is how I describe them to people. Well, where consumer reports might rate siding and roofing, they rate siding companies and roofing companies and florists and gyms and everything else in your Chicagoland area. And I'm going to be doing a lot of national reporting for them, the kind of stuff I've always done and the kind of stuff I've always done for you. They created a new section for me called Consumer's Notebook, and it's right there on the website. I'll publish on my site, consumerman.com, as well, and it's just going to be great. We've got a number of articles already up and ready, and going to talk to you about them.
Okay, there you go. So now it's checkbook.org. Okay, let's talk a little bit about 10 things I actually like about staying safe at home, because some people are getting a little stir-crazy, and maybe they can look at it a little bit differently with these 10 things that you like.
Oh, well, yeah, I don't actually have that up in front of me on my computer, but I'll try to remember some of them. I mean, it's difficult staying home, but a friend of mine, Harry Smith, who used to be my anchor on CBS This Morning and now is with the Nightly News Story, and it was like 3 weeks ago, and he did this story. It said, 75 years ago, our parents went to war to save the world. You're being asked to sit on the couch to save the world. You can handle this.
Yeah.
And that's sort of my response to, and I hate to say this, but I feel a lot of people who are really whining about being trapped or kept a prisoner in their home. I mean, I'm sorry you can't get your hair cut or your hair colored, and I don't mean to be sarcastic about this, maybe a little bit, but like there are people's lives at stake here, and you really don't need that right now. And I'm looking, you know, I've been working from home for a while. I can do my radio stuff from home, so that's really great. I've spent more time than ever with a dog, and Sam and I are so close. We take long walks every day in a park where there are only a couple of people around. Mm-hmm. The cat and I nap every single day. I've done a great deal of gardening, done a lot of chores around the house, put all the plants out on my back deck so the place really looks nice. I saw my first hummingbird yesterday, a sure sign that life will go on as we know it. And I just think there's a lot of things, you know, we're lucky and blessed that when my parents and probably yours, you know, they were in a war situation for years, and we're like, you know, in a place with Netflix, and we got Hulu, and we got our streaming video, and our streaming music, and all this kind of stuff. And I know it's inconvenient, and I feel terrible for the people who are out of work. I'm not talking about that, but the idea of staying safe at home, we can handle this. We can do this for just a little bit while longer. Yeah. Going on, as I've seen in California, the beaches and everybody crowded together and all this nonsense and, you know, all these rallies where people are just not wearing masks and doing kind of things, you're just going to get yourself sick. And I have a family member who's in a doctor who's in ER, and she had to literally separate from her family for the last 5 or 6 weeks, get her own apartment, because she said, I'm intubating people, I'm going to get coronavirus, and I'm going to give it to you, and I can't do that. And you're putting her life on the line every time you do something silly and don't do the rules you're supposed to follow, and that just personally really, really bothers me. Yeah. So I hope to all do for the greater good. This is one time to not be selfish and do for the greater good.
Yeah, I echo all of that, Herb. It makes me nuts when I see the footage of people outside and gathering in big groups and stuff like that. It just makes me crazy. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, the thing is, I've spent a lot. It's weird because I know some people are feeling really a lot of cabin fever, but really, you know, I leave my apartment to come here, and as soon as I'm done here, I go straight back to my apartment, and that's kind of what I've been doing anyway for a few years. I haven't been going out a lot, you know, and so I've been staying home a lot. So this is not I'm not going crazy, and I like to watch TV, and I like to watch movies, and I like to read books, and I like to listen to music, and that's what I'm doing. And you know.
And what I've been doing, and it's been really great, and a couple of people have done it to me out of the blue as a surprise, and it's wonderful, is I will just pick up the phone or Skype and talk to a friend whom I haven't talked to for a long, long time. I mean, I talked to a person who lived across the hallway from me in college. Now, we've kept in touch over the years. We were really, really close, and she's in Florida now, and we talked for 40 minutes, and it was just great, you know, what was going on, how her kids, and what. And then somebody called me out of the blue the other day, and it was like, I was just thinking of you. I wanted to make sure you're okay.
Yeah.
And we talked 20 minutes. It just, there's no pressure now. There's no rush. I don't have to go out the door to go to work. I spent 42 minutes the other day on the phone with somebody that I hadn't spoken to in a couple of years, and it was just wonderful. It made me feel better. We told jokes. We told stories. I think that's how you can stay, you know, a little text here, a little tweet there. That's not how you stay. Social is communication, mouth to ears, that kind of thing. Every day now I try with my nephew, I try to send him a little picture. What color is his car? What color is his truck? He's 2.5.
Yeah.
We play a little game, and then we Skype every couple of days, and, you know, something like that. And it's just a way, you know, you can't touch, but you can reach out. And I think that's really important for all of our sanity.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's how we're going to get through this. We got a call here. It's Carrie on WGN. Go ahead, Carrie.
Hey, guys. Hey, amen, Herb. Man, everything you said is absolutely spot on, man. You know, luckily I didn't have to serve in Vietnam or World War II, and they made sacrifices that we don't know about. So, yeah, sitting home on your couch watching Netflix, man, we got it made. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But my question for you, Herb, is I've got a Ford Focus that has had a lingering, for many years, transmission problem. And finally, Ford agreed they settled a class action suit, essentially. So they're going to give me a few $100 because, you know, but you got to fill out a bunch of forms and paperwork. It's a pain in the ass. The thing is, I'm thinking about trading the car in like this week on another car. If I don't physically own that car and I hand the title over, can I still claim that? Because it was my, you know, my benefit from the class action suit.
Right. I don't know. I don't know how the suit was written. If it changes to the title owner or the person who was the owner at the time, is there something where you could the money and then sell the car in a couple of weeks. There's not nothing's going to happen, and prices are only going to go down, and the deals are only going to get better as auto dealers try to do everything they can to drum up business again. So unless you really need a new vehicle for some reason, waiting is not going to hurt you at all. It's going to probably benefit. And by the way, used cars, prices are down on those dramatically. They are being flooded with lease vehicles that are coming back, and the dealers don't know what to do with them. So if you don't want to buy a brand new car, some of the deals on used cars are going to be phenomenal, like we've never seen. Years. So that suggestion would be to, there is also, if you get the settlement, there could be a administrator who says how the class action was settled. There's usually an email or a number. You could write them and ask them that question. They could probably be able to tell you that.
Okay. All right, Kerry, thanks for the call. Herb, hang on, okay?
You got it, Nick.
All right, Herb Weisbaum is with us. He's the consumer man working for KOMO. And check out checkbook.org, checkbook.org. And there's a special thing there for the WGN listeners right here. All right, more with Herb coming up right here on 720 WGN. Can't go wrong with Earth, Wind, and Fire. I've said that before. Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN on a Thursday morning here until 4, keeping you informed, keeping you company, and getting you through this. We'll get through this together. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Herb Weisbaum is the consumer man, consumer reporter for KOMO and checkbook.org. And you can check out consumerman.com. Herb, you did a nice thing for our listeners at checkbook.org. If they go to checkbook.org/WGN radio/free, it's free access to everything on checkbook.org until May 30th, correct?
Yes, a lot of the content on Checkbook is good for anybody, but the specific ratings for different cities, such as Chicagoland, it's for members only. But from now till the end of May, till 5:30, they've set up a special link so anybody listening can go on and get the ratings for auto repair shops and spas and whatever, the millions of services that they've rated in your area. It's a great thing they did. I'm just thrilled. So checkbook.org/WGN radio/free, and take advantage of this service, and you might be interested in signing up for it. They do a really great job of rating all the services in the area, and I always look at them before, because they're in Seattle, before I do something, before I hire a roofer or a siding company, or they even rated garden centers and health clubs, and it's really, really helpful, because real people are rating these things, and then they do undercover price surveys to let you know what various companies are charging for things. So it's both quality and service, and then also price, so value. So it's a really good piece of information you should have in your arsenal before you make a big purchase like that.
Okay, and it's until May 30th, so we got a full month of this. Checkbook.org/WGN radio/free for free access to everything on the website. All right, that's nice of them, Herb.
No problem.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the stimulus payment glitches. What's going on with this?
Well, there's two stories I wrote, so I'll go over both of them for you. Some people, believe it or not, have still not gotten their money yet, and they're getting a little antsy about what's going on. As we know, the first wave of money already went out, but some people on Social Security still haven't gotten their money yet. My sister-in-law didn't get her money yet. So you can check on the IRS website, and it says get my payment, and it'll tell you what the status is if you put in the proper information like your Social Security number. And we found out that she's getting it by check. For whatever reason, it's coming next week. So you can look for that, and then if for some reason you're not on the rolls or something is not there at all, you can figure out where to go from there. And if you're looking in your bank account for this, you're not going to see something like a stimulus check or payment. It's going to say IRS Treasury, as in Treasury Department, 312. So IRS Treasury 312 is what you're going to be looking for. So just be aware of that. Some fraudsters are now, and they're taking advantage of everything, and we'll talk more about that before we end the show. But they're actually trying to call people. We'll speed up the process. We just need your information. Just pay us some money. We'll get you first in line. There's nobody calling you for the government to help you out or do anything with the stimulus payments. It's all done by the IRS. If you have a problem, you've got to contact them, or they'll contact you by mail if there's a problem. But nothing is coming from the IRS proactively, contact-wise. Anyone who says they're calling from the IRS, it's an absolute scam, and hang up right away. Final point, because a lot of people have asked me, is the stimulus payment taxable? And the answer is no, it is not taxable. So that's stimulus story number one. Stimulus story number two is we found out that millions of people are apparently going to get their stimulus payments late because they used a tax preparation service, such as H&R Block or TurboTax or Jackson Hewitt, and they use one of those things, and they really highly advertise this, I know, in the Chicagoland area, where you get a refund anticipation loan or a refund anticipation check. Money comes back on a debit card. It's promoted very highly to lower income people, like, I need my money now. So you pay for that service. And what happens with those services is, and consumer groups hate those services, but the way it was set up, the IRS says, is in those cases, there was a separate bank account set up. The tax preparation service gave you the money, and the IRS money went to the tax preparation service that they then put in their bank account. So the IRS says that's why there's a problem with this thing, and it could take weeks to solve or longer. I contacted the big tax paying services. I spoke to TurboTax, Jackson Hewitt, and H&R Block, and they said that the IRS has it wrong. They said they gave them everything they need to make the payments to the people. Here's a quote from TurboTax, quote, "The bank account information for TurboTax filers is transmitted to the IRS as part of the tax return. The IRS has the appropriate banking information for all TurboTax filers that received a refund electronically, which can be used by them to distribute stimulus payments. This is true regardless of whether a customer chose to receive a refund on a debit card, selected refund transfer, or a refund advance or other services." So they think that it's an IRS problem. I guess for you, it doesn't really matter who's at fault here. The problem is you may be delayed if that's the case because you got that back in one of these refund advance products. The best you can do is hold on, or if you want to, the IRS is frequently updating its FAQ page or the economic impact payment page on what's going on and what's happening. You can check there and find out. But right now, if you haven't gotten your check and you got a refund anticipation loan or a refund anticipation check, an RAL or an RAC, or you got your refund last year loaded onto a debit card and you haven't gotten your stimulus money yet, that may be the reason why, and you might want to go to the IRS website and find out what's going on.
Okay. And these stories, by the way, can all be found at Herb's website, which is consumerman.com, if you want to read the full websites. And you also, on many of the things that you write, Herb, you provide links to a lot of the places that you're talking about, so, you know, direct links so that people can check it out as they're reading your piece.
Yeah, that's the benefit of just going to the website version. Now, you can find it both on Checkbook on the homepage or also my website, ConsumerMan, as I try to provide as many links as possible to make your life easy. You just click on and go right to the site at the place in question. So for this one, I link you to the places you need to go on the IRS website to find out the information.
There you go. And also, Herb, tell everybody about your newsletter, which is free, and you know, hopefully we'll get some people to subscribe.
That's great. And every time we talk, they do. All you have to do is go to my website, consumerman.com, on the right-hand side. Unless there's a pop-up, it'll say sign up for Herb's free weekly newsletter. Just give me your name and email address. And every week I send out the information I've done for Como and for Checkbook. So you get a lot of timely consumer information. And then I always include once a month Nick's podcast. So you'll hear this broadcast every month as well.
That's great. And that's all at consumerman.com. So check it out on his website. Herb, you know, we had a caller just call in about question about cars and that kind of stuff, and you wrote about the car needing some TLC during this outbreak.
Yeah, this was based on a personal situation. The niece called up and says, my car isn't starting, and the fiance had to jump it. And I said, have you run it in a while? It's like, no, I've been sheltering in place for weeks. Why would I have to start the car? As the experts at Consumer Reports told me, a car's made to move. It's a machine, and you have to run it every once in a while. And the key point of this story was, because I've seen people who have literally started the car and then backed it out of the driveway and let it sit in the driveway for a minute or so and then rolled it back into the garage again or whatever. And the deal is that you really have to take the car for a drive once a week if you're not commuting to work anymore and you have a car. You want to take it out and you want to drive it for 15 or 20 minutes. The reason why, the biggest drain on your battery is when you start the vehicle. So you've got to get that alternator running for 15 or 20 minutes to charge the battery back up so that it's got enough juice again to start your car the next time you want to start it.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, that's why you just don't do, I started the car. No, you've actually made it worse because you've drained the battery and then you haven't run the car. So you need to run the car to put the juice back in the battery again. You know, and if it's a bad battery, that's, you may have to do a little longer or you're going to need a new battery. The other thing is you got to get all the fluids moving. The lubricants and the fluids and all that stuff, they're sitting in one place. And by taking the car for a drive, again, it's a machine that's made to be used. It gets all that stuff moving around and does all the stuff it's supposed to do with all those fluids. If you don't move the car for a month or more, you may develop flat spots on the tires from all the weight sitting in one place tire in your car.
Yeah.
That could cause serious problems. And here's a short little aside, but maybe of interest to your listeners. That's going to be a really, really big problem when Boeing puts the 737 MAXs back in service again. Those gigantic, enormous, heavy jets have been sitting on those tires in the same place and haven't moved. And odds are they're going to have to replace the tires, every tire on every one of those jets,
wow,
when they finally put jets back in service. I don't think Discount Tires handles that. So it's going to be a... quite a thing for them. So that's, you know, when you move, it gets the rust off the rotors and the brakes, and, you know, it does a whole lot of things. And then the other point I want to make was gasoline going bad over time. And I wasn't really sure how much that happens. So I know, like, when you put the lawnmower or the snowblower away for the season, you have to put that stuff in to sort of keep the gas good for the rest of the season until the next year comes around. Most of the experts I talk to, especially the ones at Consumer Reports, say that there can be water condensation that takes place in your gas tank if it's not pretty full. And that can cause problems and rust kind of problems. And also that if you want to, and then water vapor problems. So what you want to try to do is, even if you're not driving a lot, try to keep the car full. Take it out for your ride, fill it up, and try to keep your car full. It's less possibility for the fuel separation, for the condensation. It'll keep all the seals on the gas tank liquid and sealed and all that kind of stuff. And then if you're not going to drive it, really drive it for a month and a half or more, then you might want to put a fuel stabilizer in it, like a Seafoam or Stable, the same kind of stuff that you might put on your snowblower or your lawnmower to keep the gas fresh.
Okay. So. All right. There's some great advice for keeping your car ready to go.
One last point, just because I know we're not going to the shop as much. They actually said that you don't have to freak out about the service intervals. You know, if you stretch it out by a couple of hundred miles right now because you're not driving, that's not going to be the end of the world. So if you're, you know, if you're due for an oil change, you can let it go a couple of hundred miles, something like that. Or some of the lube shops I know in different parts are actually letting you drive up, and they'll do it while you're in the car, so you never even have to get out.
Yeah.
So that's another. But don't freak out about the intervals. And again, all the auto repair shops, or many of the auto repair shops in the Chicagoland area, are rated by Checkbook, and they're in that free link that we gave you, checkbook.org/WGN radio/free. It's a golden opportunity to find out, if you're looking for a good repair shop, how the ones rate in your area.
There you go. Oh, great stuff. Okay, here's Mike on WGN. Go ahead, Mike.
I have one question about the stimulus check. When you go to the website, Get My Check or whatever, it says, if you didn't file any of your 2018 adjusted gross income, well, if you didn't file, you don't have one.
Well, they're basing where they send the checks on whether you filed in 2018 or 2019, but there's also people who get Social Security payments or other government payments from the government. They explain somewhere on the FAQs, they have your information in the system, and you will already you will automatically be taken care of. But that's how they're figuring out who to send the checks to. Is people who filed their tax returns for 2018 and 2019, or those who already get something from the government where they have your banking account information or your address on file.
Okay. All right,
okay,
Mike.
No worries.
Okay,
thanks.
There you go.
I had a story out here in Seattle today. It's a government program. They're also sending checks to deceased people. It actually said on this one check that our TV station, Como TV, featured tonight, that actually had deceased, or the abbreviation of deceased, on the check. So the computer to the person was dead. And now Steve Mnuchin is saying, well, you better return those checks. So that's good. Remember where you heard it first. That's going to be an interesting one to follow up, is how many checks the government sent to dead people and how many people cashed them, saying, hey, it's signed by Donald Trump. They gave me the check. I'm going to cash it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. That sounds like something only in Chicago would, knowing our politics.
Right. Well, that would be required to do in Chicago,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Because dead people have been known to vote in this city. Yeah. So, all right, Herb, hang on.
You got it,
all
Nick.
Right. Herb Weisbaum is with us. He is the consumer man. 312-981-7200 is the phone number.
Be just a foolish dreamer. But
Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline studio here until 4. At 4, we head over to Bradley Place, the TV side of WGN, and get some news and information from them. And then at 5 o'clock, Bob Surratt has your morning drive right here on WGN. And the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Herb Weisbaum is my guest. He is the consumer man. Consumerman.com is the website. All right, Herb, welcome back.
Thank you, Nick.
A couple more calls here. Let's talk with Jaretta on WGN. Hi, Jaretta.
Hi.
Hi.
I had a very strange thing happen today. I have an unlisted phone number, and I got a phone call, and they said they were Publishers Clearing House. And the man I talked to never asked me for any personal information or anything, just verified my name, and told me that I won a prize, a check, and a car. And I explained I was handicapped and I couldn't use the car. So he said they would have to change it and make it a second check. And he talked about cashier's checks. He told me there were rules and regulations that they have to comply with the state of Illinois. They wanted to set up a time to bring the check, and did I want it confidential or with publicity? And he asked me a few more questions, and then I asked him to give me his name and to spell it, and he did. And I asked him for the phone number of the office he was calling me from. He gave me the phone number, and then he said it was going to take a little time to change the car part and a couple of other things, and that he would be getting back to me. And he hung up. I waited, and I called the first number that was supposed to be the office, and it said if I wasn't a restricted phone number to hang up. And it gave me an 800 number to call. So I called the 800 number, and it turned out to be AT&T. Some office in AT&T that dealt with restricted numbers, and I couldn't get through.
Let me ask you a question. Did he ask you to give you any personal information? Did you give this guy any personal information?
Just verified my name and address.
Okay. So first of all, yeah, you didn't win Publishers Clearinghouse. First of all, I bet you didn't enter Publishers Clearinghouse. Did you enter the sweepstakes?
Every one of them.
Okay, so you've entered. Okay. Most people who get the Publishers Clearinghouse scam call have never entered the Publishers Clearinghouse, so you have to enter a contest to win. They do not call you. They show up outside your door, the camera crew and the bubbly girl and the bouncy guy, and they give you your check and make a big surprise. They never contact you. They never stop by your house just to see you. They surprise you and do it. And so this is a scam, and don't have anything to do with them whatsoever. The other important thing for everyone listening is what you did, what they did to you is absolutely what they want you to do and the wrong way to do it. You don't ask them what number you're at to call, because the con artist is going to give you their number. There have been con artists where you say, where are you at? I'm at the Georgia Police Department. What's the number? You pick up, you call, and the con artist answers, Georgia police officer, so-and-so. You have to look up the number independently to know you're calling a legitimate number. Luckily, in your case, it didn't work or go through, but that's part of the scam. The scam is that you ask them for the number, they give you the number, they answer the phone, they know how to answer it, and you believe you called a legitimate number. The only way to call a number you can trust is for you to look up the number independently and call them. So my credit card company calls and says they've got fraud on my card. I don't know who you are. Thank you very much. I go to my credit card, I look on the back, I call the number and ask for the fraud department. That's how you decide if there's a number to call back. Thankfully, no harm, no foul. You didn't give them any personal information. Nothing changed hands, but don't have anything to do with them whatsoever, and you were dealing with a con artist.
That's a con artist, yep.
Yeah, and I've done this. I first reported on this over 25 years ago. That's how long this scam has gone on, because it's such a well-known company, Publishers Clearinghouse, and people do get prizes. It's legit, and that's why the con artists are dealing with it.
Yeah. All right, Jaretta. Good luck. Thanks. Stuart, real quick on WGN. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just have a quick question. It's a common sense question. I went to my bank, and my bank couldn't even explain it. Now I get a Social Security check. Okay, it comes to my bank at the beginning of the month every month. So that means that the government has my information to send me the Social Security check, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't they be able to send this Trump check to me in the bank? I mean, I actually got it today. But the point of it is why wasn't it able to be just sent to my bank account? Since I already have my information.
Simple answer is because it's a massive program thrown together by the U.S. government, and there's going to be glitches in any program like that. It's amazing that as many people are getting the money as they did. That's the best answer I have for you. There's no reason why, as I said earlier, my sister-in-law, they know where she's getting the money. There's no reason why she should get a check. It's just the way it's working. It's just the way things are happening. That's the best answer I have for you.
Okay. All right, Stuart, thanks for the call. 312-981-7200. You know, the airline industry has taken a hit on this, too, and you wrote a couple of pieces about that. Air passengers' rights, yeah.
Because Betsy is listening tonight. One of your listeners emailed me after the show last time, and she said, I had a question, and I want to make sure we had time to answer. Because I said, please listen. She said, I listen every month when you're on with Nick, and I wanted to answer her question. If that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so she wanted to know that she got two telephone calls. First one said that they were trying to get back money for her for a reduction in payment for her student loan, called absolutely out of the blue, and she had never called anybody or done anything. And the second one came from a number in Washington, D.C., remembering all these numbers can be spoofed, and he said that he had a very important message for her about the coronavirus outbreak student loans because of what President Trump is doing, and all they need to do is for her to call this number, and they were going to help her pay back her loans and deal with the obligation she had. And I wanted to answer this because this is the next story I'm working on for Checkbook that we'll talk a great deal more next time. This coronavirus has been the Super Bowl, the World Series, the Stanley Cup, everything you can name, rolled into one. This has given them the opportunity to commit more scams, different scams, old scams with a coronavirus twist than ever before. The FTC is being flooded with thousands of complaints. The FBI with thousands of complaints. People are losing millions of dollars and giving up personal information. Everybody's got to slow down and be really careful. I know things are scary. I know you're out of work. I know you're looking for help. But these con artists, and they're working across the planet, are using coronavirus now to take advantage of our fear and anxiety and to rip people off. And one very quick example, a gentleman in Montreal who I spoke to for this story I'm working on right across the border there, his mother-in-law in Florida was told by the bank that someone had compromised her accounts and they needed to pick up her debit card and her credit cards. But because of coronavirus, they didn't want her to come to the bank. That would risk her life, so they were going to send somebody over to pick up the cards. How nice. Somebody knocks on the door 20 minutes later. Of course, they have a mask on, Nick, because it's coronavirus time, so the security cameras don't pick up their face. They take the cards. Day later, $9,000 in charges, thousands of dollars taken out of her ATM machine. Of course, there's no good shot of them on the ATM because it's coronavirus time and they're wearing a mask. So eventually she got her money back. The bank gave her a hard time. But this is just one example. The grandkids scam where they call you up and say, hey, Grandma, it's me and I'm in Canada and I need money and please help me out, wire me some money. Now it's, hey, Grandma, it's me and I'm in Canada and I got it put in a cell and the guy next to me's got the coronavirus and he's coughing and hacking. I'm going to die. You need to send me the money so quickly. Every single scam in the book, Nick, has now got a coronavirus twist to it. It's unbelievable how much money and how much information these guys are going to sell. You've got to be really on your guard. Be suspicious of everything. Question everything if you're not sure about what it is.
Yeah. And, you know, some people, even in regular times, without this virus, people get intimidated and frightened by the prospect of, like, you know, having a problem with their bank account or their credit card. You know, money situations make people nervous in general. And now, to add to this, you know, to the paranoia and the anxiety that we're all feeling, it makes it even worse.
And just remember the simple rules that I always tell you. The IRS isn't going to call you. The Treasury Department isn't going to call you. Social Security, Medicare aren't going to call you. Your bank isn't going to call you. The cops aren't coming over to arrest you. If they're going to arrest you, they break down the door or whatever. They don't call you ahead of time to tell you they're going to arrest you. Just be very suspicious of those things and hang up. And if you need somebody to talk to before you do something, call the AARP Fraud Watch Network. It's a toll-free line where you can chat with people. You have the Identity Theft Resource Center, a great organization. You can call them, talk to a human being or chat with them. You can look them up online. They'll all be embedded with my story as soon as it comes out on checkbook.org in a couple of days, and it'll be in my next newsletter. But there are call your Better Business Bureau, call your Attorney General's office, call your kid, call somebody before you do something, because the worst thing is you call them after and they said, oh, Mom, you just wired that money to a con artist. You're never going to see it again. You want to check first. It's always be suspicious because nothing has to happen now. If it has to happen this second, I need your money, I need your bank account number, I need your credit card number, you need to wire the money now. It's a scam, period.
End of story. Don't have anything to do with it.
All right. Consumerman.com, all of the articles that we were talking about, including a couple that we didn't get to, airlines and air passengers and things like that, all available online. And also checkbook.org. /WGN Radio/free. That's free access to everything on checkbook.org until May 30th. Herb, always always a pleasure to talk to you, man. It's always very informative and helpful. And stay healthy, my friend.
Thank you. I'm as good on a Thursday as I am on a Friday.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right, Herb. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks a lot. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, Herb Weisbaum. Check out consumerman.com. Subscribe to his free newsletter as well.